We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome into the show from 12 to 3. Is that what we're calling this now?
It's just the show.
It's just the show. I feel like standing on the table and doing the song. Oh, it's the big show. Remember that when he was wrestling?
But Lonzo get offended.
Lonzo, why?
That's not the right big show.
It's not the right big show.
I don't think I sound like that. And
you sound exactly like that.
No, I don't. And the big show was wrestling like last week. So
you got beef with me using the promo or the intro? Oh, it's the big show.
By the way, you know, Legal would have beef with you over that, but I would not. You do it all you want. Diesel's like trying to cause discord right away. You asked me to come in here and he's trying to cause problems. I mean, you know.
Well, if you haven't recognized my voice by now, this is Josh Phillips sitting in for I don't know who the heck, but hey, we're going to be here from 12 to 3 and we're going to have a lot of fun. It seems like I haven't been here in a year. So there is so much to get into. The last time I was here, the college football playoff was just beginning or somewhere in that mix. College basketball was getting thrown in. NBA had already gotten started. The NFL playoffs had started. So now we're at the national championship. Just had it. LSU won, obviously, 42-25. We're actually going to have Will Vandervoort on of the Clemson Insider in the next segment to talk about the ACC has released their football schedule and Clemson has released their schedule. Of course, we've had the NFL playoffs. Last weekend, the Kansas City Chefs / Chiefs, a play on the old Snickers commercial, beat the Tennessee Titans 35-24. The San Francisco 49ers beat the Green Bay Packers 37-20. And that's why I wanted Lonzo in here for the first segment, man. Congratulations on your Kansas City Chiefs. It's when the Chiefs won this game, which, you know, I'm not one that's bashful about tooting my own horn. Not only did yours truly pick LSU to play Clemson for the national title, I actually picked Kansas City to make the Super Bowl. You wanted to argue with me a little bit. Now, I thought Seattle would come out of the NFC. That didn't work out for me. But out of the major football sports, I'll take three out of the four teams any day of the week. That being said, when Kansas City won this game, and we'll get into Patrick Mahomes and all of that. And if you want to join the conversation, 844-477-3776 is the call-in line, or hit us up on the text line, text ESPN to 71307. But when Kansas City going to the Super Bowl is pretty near to my heart, because I actually coached in my coaching career in college. I actually coached with a former Kansas City defensive back named Jim Marcellus. Lonzo, I don't know if you and I have talked about Jim or not. Jim was in the same, he was a cornerback from Tennessee State, was on the same team as Lanier and Buchanan and that great Chiefs team. I can still hear, hey, just keep matriculating that ball down the field, boys. Hey, 55 toss power trap. I mean, anybody that's an NFL purist, Hank Stram, who's now deceased, the legendary Super Bowl, the last coach to take Kansas City to the Super Bowl in 1969, and that great audio that we had when Kansas City won the Super Bowl with that outstanding team. I believe the Chiefs had four or five guys on that. Lynn Dawson, there's that iconic picture of Lynn Dawson sitting at his locker with a beer in one hand and a Lucky Strike cigarette in the other. I mean, it was just the way the game was. And you and I were talking about just the history around. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs are a founding father of the NFL franchise, and now they're back in the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, and we'll talk about that later. But Lonzo, congratulations to your guys. I couldn't be more happier for you. And just all of my memories as a child learning about the NFL, you can't do it without the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, I have a confession to make, and I have made fun of people who cried when their team does something that they haven't seen. And I got to admit, a couple tears came to my eyes, and I could not believe it. I'm like, am I really doing this? Because, you know, every people listen to the station know that I'm an Ohio State Buckeye fan. I've seen national championships. I've seen them all growing up, but I have never seen Kansas City go to the Super Bowl. And I didn't really realize that till, you know, the final seconds ticked off, and it's like, wait a minute. We're actually going to the Super Bowl. I have never seen this in my lifetime. I'm 51, and this is the first time I've seen this.
It's the first time he's cried since Iron Man died.
Listen, man, that was rough. I knew that was coming, and still, it got me. Hit me right here.
Since Iron Man. And it's funny because he went with his chest.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was symbolic. It was. You got it. I know they can't see it. So anyway, it's a big deal that and what a contrast in styles as far as coaches go.
Yes.
Just to how they look. Because Hank Stram with the suit, yep. The way he walked around and
that high pitched voice.
Yeah. Yeah. And Andy Reid just looks like someone's grandpa and he doesn't look grumpy. You know, you expect your grandpa to look grumpy. He looks happy all the time, even when he's upset. And people were comparing Mahomes and saying that Alex Smith could have done this. You know, Alex Smith was pretty good, but there's something special about Mahomes. There's something very special that we haven't seen probably ever.
Let me just go ahead and say, Alex Smith wouldn't have gotten the Chiefs to the AFC Championship. I hate that argument. Alex Smith is not even close to the caliber of quarterback that Patrick Mahomes is. Not even close. Because if he was, he would have done it already. I mean, he was on teams before in Kansas City that were ever bit as talented. They had a pretty good defense. They had offensive weapons.
And they had a really good running game.
So this narrative about, well, Kansas City's just so talented that everybody, that any quarterback could have gotten there, it's total garbage. It's literally total garbage. It's sports talk guys that have no idea what football is. They have no idea what winning football is. And Patrick Mahomes is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he is going to be the difference between Kansas City hoisting the Lombardi Trophy and then being in the game. And Kansas City, don't make mistake about this. Kansas City's going to win this game. And I feel they're going to win this game relatively comfortable because I don't think San Francisco, for two reasons. I don't think San Francisco can run the ball like they did against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, Kansas City is not going to allow Mostert to run for 200 yards and three touchdowns in the first half and build a 26-27-0 lead. That's not going to happen. This defense is too good. Then the other issue is they're going to put the game into Jimmy Garoppolo's hands to win. And there is no evidence that Garoppolo can be anything other than a game manager without a running game. And Kyle Shanahan knows it.
Yeah, this really comes down to, you know, they say it's a quarterback matchup, but it is. And it's going to be a shootout no matter what, because when Kansas City plays a game, it's a shootout. That's what it is. And how many points did they score within like 3 minutes? It was like 21, something like that. All you need is 15, 20 seconds, and Mahomes can score a touchdown with those receivers, with him running the ball, whatever. So it's a matchup between him and Garoppolo, and I like Garoppolo, but he's outmatched by Mahomes every day.
Well, one of the arguments that I've heard about San Francisco winning this game is the fact that Bosa and company along that defensive line, Dre Greenlaw, who actually played high school ball with his dad. he was our fullback. But those guys, the thing about Patrick Mahomes is his athleticism negates that rush. And it makes you pause as a defensive coach when you've got literally a dual threat quarterback. Look at the issues that the NFL has had. And please, people, stop it with, oh, well, look what happened to Baltimore once they got into the playoffs. Playoff football, regular season football, totally different animal. Patrick Mahomes has been phenomenal in the playoffs. Phenomenal. I mean, it was only by Dee Ford's penalty that kept them out of this game last year, jumping off sides. And they were the better team and probably would have beaten the Rams had they made it into that game. So now you didn't have such shenanigans and they're squarely in it. The question that I have for San Francisco is, as phenomenal as Debo Samuel has been, as great as George Kittle has been, as great as Mostert was last year, as great as that defensive line, along with the linebackers in the secondary, Richard Sherman included, has been, facing Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid with 2 weeks to prepare is a different animal. And look, take nothing away from Kyle Shanahan. You've got to give Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch ought to be the executive of the year. I mean, it wasn't that long ago San Francisco was a one-win football team. So take nothing away from them. But I think this Kansas City team is quite honestly maybe the best they've had since that 69 Super Bowl win. I mean, they literally don't have that many weaknesses on this team. They're solid in the special teams. They've been down this road before with having to face the Patriots. They couldn't quite get over that hump. They've gotten over that hump now. And, you know, I'm not a believer in it's your time, because I think the best team, I'm not into that, well, your time is due. And I just think if you're good, you're going to win it. And I just think Kansas City is the best team in football. And I expect them to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. They've already got the Lamar Hunt Trophy as the AFC champion.
They do. They brought it home.
That's never happened before, has it? Because when they won the AFC before, it wasn't called the Lamar Hunt Trophy. And this is what people need to understand, why this game is so important to Chiefs fans, for NFL purists, historians like yours truly, is Lamar Hunt coined the phrase Super Bowl. When the Super Bowl was coming out and they were deciding that the AFL and the NFL was going to merge and they were going to have this championship game, they couldn't determine what they were going to call it. And Lamar Hunt used actually his son, who was an infant at the time. It was after a rubber ball called a Super Bowl. So Lamar Hunt said, let's have a Super Bowl. And as they say, the rest is history. Are you going to go to the game?
You know, we've thought about it, but you look at the price of tickets, and I know it could be a once in a lifetime deal, and again, we've thought about it, and I think I'm just too frugal to do it. I can't. I'm too tight with money, even though I want to go. And then there's the fact that I would rather watch a game at my house, and I know the significance and all that kind of stuff, but you know, I know where my snacks are. I know where my restroom is, and I don't have to fight with. But the atmosphere is going to be great. I mean, there's two sides to this, but in the end, I think it really comes down to the money. They've overpriced the Super Bowl, where regular people have to mortgage things to actually go to it.
Well, knowing the Chiefs fan that you are, I would highly encourage you, because you know what? I'm a big believer in this. You got one life. And when you die, you're going to be dead a long time. So if you find something that you enjoy and you really want to do it, go do it. Because when you're gone, what difference does it going to make?
Life lessons with Josh Phillips.
I mean, really. No,
he's killing me over here. I'm like, okay, I can sell this. I can
get a
give
new
some
credit
blood.
Card. It's fine. Yeah. The interest rates are really low right now.
I mean, what do you got left to, what do you got left to do with the money that you got the rest of your life to pay it off? So what? Because when you're dead, you're dead, and you'll be dead a long time. So go do it. You've raised your kids. They're off having kids. Hey, go enjoy yourself. You and the missus, spend the money, max out the cards, go rock and roll down to South Beach.
Trust me, she'd like to go too. So,
Hey.
I'm going to have to go think about this, Josh.
Well, if she's listening, I'm on your side.
We work for
Lonzo
a four-letter affiliate. You should be able to get tickets.
Somehow. You would think.
You would think. Something to explore.
Call Steve. Send it. Walk right downstairs. Go to Steve's office and say, Steve, I need to go to the Super Bowl. How can we make this happen?
He's probably still reeling about what happened to Green Bay. So I don't know. The Super Bowl might be a touchy thing.
I'm sure he would like to be going to the Super Bowl too. But say, Steve, since you can't go to the Super Bowl, I'd like to go to the Super Bowl in your place. How can we make that happen?
See, here's the bad thing. I know what would happen. I would get the chance to go, but I'd have to go with Mark Ryan, and I'm just not doing it.
Well, you've already won one bet, so
that he hasn't completely paid up one. But anyway,
that's okay. But yeah, I'm not going to see you before the game is played. What do you think? You like your Chiefs? They're going to bring it home?
I do believe they're going to win. Yeah, and I think the fact that they've been behind in both playoff games, I don't think they're scared of any deficit, and I think that helps them. You go in with no fear, and I think they're going to win this game. And I don't think it's going to be close either.
I agree. We've been privileged. Lonzo, thank you so much. I know you've got a ton to do with your behind-the-roll scenes here, but I wanted to get you on as our resident Chief fanatic. You know, because over the last several years, this has kind of been known as the unofficial station of the New England Patriots, as much as we've talked about New England over the last several years, for good or ill. In the next segment, we're going to talk to Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider about Clemson's 2020 schedule that has dropped. We're going to get into this Kansas State brawl that happened. We're going to get into the Hall of Fame selections of Major League Baseball. I'll give you my opinion on that. And we'll get into this Astros scandal, supposedly, that people are just freaking out about. Heck, the LA Center is wanting the Houston Astros to give up their world's championship, which is totally ridiculous. This is The Show at ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back into the second segment of the show. I am Josh Phillips here at ESPN Upstate, and we want to welcome into the show a very special guest that we have, and a guy that I consider a dear friend, one of the best professional media people out there that I've ever been around, and that is one, Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider. Will, have you recovered from the trip to New Orleans, my friend?
I have. Got better back yesterday. It took about a week or so. as you know, anybody that goes to New Orleans understands why I say that. But I've recovered and, kind of settled back into normal work week, covered basketball game last night and things of that nature.
Now, Will, when you were down there, are there any things that you can share about your experience down there in the Big Easy, or is it, or was it one of those times where what happened in New Orleans needs to stay in New Orleans?
Well, yeah, there are absolutely some things that probably need to stay in New Orleans that I'll keep there. But, you know, I thought for one thing, you know, just from the game itself, I thought there was definitely an advantage for LSU fans in that game. It was as close to playing at Tiger Field in Baton Rouge as you can get when the game was over, to give you some perspective of it. And first of all, I want to say the Clemson fans were very loud that were there. I think they came prepared to try to be as loud as they could. And I think they made their presence felt, don't get me wrong. But when the game was over, and it, first of all, it was an extremely loud environment, the loudest I've probably ever witnessed personally. And this is coming from a guy who's covered Clemson football for 15 years and has been in Death Valley and Clemson, you know, covering a lot of big games. And it's very loud, obviously, in Death Valley, but that the Superdome, because there's no way for the noise to escape. It was extremely loud with all the LSU fans there. And you could see it had an effect on Clemson at times in communications. I thought, you know, Sean Pollard struggled at times with it. You saw some bad snaps and things of that nature that happened between him and Trevor. But the crowd, when the game was over and they were doing the trophy celebration, guys, if you were at Clemson the last couple times they've won the national title and they had their parade, and so, you know, Death Valley was probably three-fourths full when they had those parades. That's what it was like for the trophy presentation for LSU in the Superdome. That's how many LSU fans were in the stadium. All the Clemson people had left, and all the LSU people were in there, and the stadium was still three-fourths full. I mean, it was definitely a home game, and so that I'll take away from it. And then, you know, I think far as, you know, one of the things we got to do for the media, they gave us the media party the night before the game, and we were at the World War II Museum in New Orleans, which I thought was outstanding. If you ever get a chance to go to New Orleans and you're there for a couple days, please take one day to do that. I wish we had longer than the 3 or 4 hours that we were allowed to be there, because it takes probably a whole day to go through. It's great lesson, history lesson for what the war was in America and the entire world and America's involvement in it. And I think it's worth every penny that anybody can spend. The next time I go to New Orleans for a few days, I'm definitely going to do it.
As we're talking with Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider, Will, just real quick, my take on the game. First of all, I thought perhaps this may have been the best, maybe the game last year or the Deshaun Watson drive to beat Alabama. But I thought this year's Clemson team in this game could have been the best coaching job. I thought Brent Venables threw stuff at LSU that they had never seen before. And it literally took them almost three quarters to figure out what the heck was going on. They sacked Joe Burrow four times. They practically eliminated any of the rushing attack that LSU had. Clyde Allaire was basically a non-factor for three quarters of that ball game. And the way that Coach Venables mixed up his front, he would jump in a bear front, he would jump in Okie fronts, he would jump in over front. I mean, he probably showed eight or nine different defensive looks and different blitz schemes until LSU just, it was one of those things where they just had, their jimmies were better than Clemson's Joes once they picked up all those blitzes. But I thought Coach Venables just flat out, he did what Coach V does, from my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Clemson's plan from a defensive standpoint was fine, and I thought it worked. For the most part, it was working. I mean, LSU was only 4-14 on third down conversions.
Yep.
Now, the four fourth downs they did get were huge because they all led to touchdowns. And that was Brent Venables say that was the disappointing part of it. The one was a 3rd and 11 where they just called the perfect call right at the last second. Clemson was in a jailbreak blitz, and they threw the perfect play against it, and that was you know, the screen pass that went for like 42 yards on 3rd and 11. Of course, there was the pass interference penalty on 3rd and 19 there in the second quarter, just before the end of the first half. That was huge. Dan Kendrick probably should have intercepted that ball.
Yep.
He just looks where the ball is because it was basically thrown to him.
The steady hits the defender, and they get an automatic first down, third and long. So instead of Clemson getting the ball back, either way, you know, LSU gets it up near midfield, and they go on to score a touchdown after that and take control of the game, I thought. But I thought overall it was a good scheme by Coach Venables. And even with that, like you said, LSU still gets 600 yards,
right,
and 42 points. However, I don't know if LSU does that if Clemson's offense plays the way it played all during the season. Even if they played like they did against Ohio State in the second half, LSU doesn't put up that many yards and points. I think what you saw at times was that Clemson was tired. The defense got tired because the offense was going three and out a lot in the second half, and they're having to go back out there again against that up-tempo, fast-paced LSU offense. And what they do and how Burrow dissects the defense as fast as he can, a couple guys get tired on the back end, and what happens? You know, we've all seen it. Guys are running open in the middle of the field, you know, and that's what happened in that game. And, you know, you don't want to make excuses for him, but, I mean, it was without a doubt that game was lost by Clemson more on the offensive side than it was on the defensive side. When the offense goes 1-for-11 on third down, didn't pick up a single third down conversion in the second, third, or fourth quarters. Trevor Lawrence was throwing high on every pass on third down. His first 29 games at Clemson, Trevor Lawrence only threw high on third down six times. In 29 games, six times. Against LSU, he threw high seven times. So, you know, that tells you he was off the mark, and Trevor said that, you know, in the post game that, you know, he just wasn't on, and he realizes because he was inaccurate and didn't play his best game and didn't execute, it probably cost his team a chance at a national championship.
As we're talking with Will Vandevoort of the Clemson Insider, Will, of course, no crying from Clemson. I mean, the team went 14-1. With a lot of guys coming back. Of course, the big news, Travis Etienne is coming back. As we discuss Clemson's schedule, from what I'm seeing, I'm fully expecting Clemson to run the table again. The only game that gives me pause on this schedule, and I'll let you run through it if you would like to, is that November the 7th game at Notre Dame could possibly be a game that Clemson needs to be ultra focused for down the stretch. Your thoughts on the Tigers 2020 schedule?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the no doubt. That's the marquee game, I think, on this schedule. And as you mentioned, it comes November the 7th in South Bend. I think the schedule sets up nice for Clemson. However, this is the first time since 2015 that the Tigers will play back to back road games. When they play October 2nd at Boston College on a Friday night, which won't be easy because, let's be honest, Clemson hasn't played well on Friday nights. The last time they played on Friday nights, guys, guess what happened? They lost to Syracuse, a Syracuse team that went 4-8, by the way. So don't say it's a gimme yet, right? Because you got to go up north and play a game on a Friday night after you just played a game on a Saturday against Virginia, which would be an emotional game, I think, a little bit against Virginia because it'll be a rematch of the ACC championship game. So I think both those teams will kind of be going into it with, you know, hey, you know, they want to play better and they want to show some things because of that game. So that's a marquee game also on the schedule. And so then they hit the road for 2 weeks at Boston College and at Florida State. Clemson's trying to go for three straight wins in Tallahassee. They've never done that before. So that's why that will be a tough game as well, I think, when you look at the schedule. Do I think Clemson should win both games? Absolutely. But still, for the first time since 2015, you know, as a coaching staff, as a program, you got to go on the road in back-to-back weeks. You handle that a little bit differently than you do if you got, like they have had, where they've had a home game and a road game, a home game and a road game. So that'll be interesting how the coaching staff handles that and how the team prepares for that. And then, as you mentioned, they get an open date there before the Notre Dame game, and they go to that game. I think that's a game where, you know, remember Ian Book has decided to come back for his senior year. Notre Dame's going to return a lot of players on the defense side of the ball where they were really good last year and got better as the season went along. I think that's going to be a very tough game. Probably that might be a top 10 Notre Dame team, which, guys, let's be honest, that's something Clemson needs late in the season, right? They need a win against a top 10 team because I think they're going to be sitting there in that number one, number two mix. And if they can get that win, maybe Clemson can secure a top seed in the college football playoff next year because of the win at Notre Dame and what it would mean. And that maybe leads to Clemson having an opportunity to go do something Clemson's never done before, which is play a game at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. So, and I think right now, if you look at ask any Clemson fan, they don't want to go back to New Orleans, considering what's happened the last two times they've gone there, right?
Yeah, and I doubt very seriously, though, Will, that they're going to face LSU, and that's you know that
they
was
could face Alabama though. I mean, you know, yeah. when you go to the Sugar Bowl, there's a chance you're going to play the SEC champion.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. As you look for 2020, and you look across the ACC, is there a team that I don't think this is going to be the year, but is there a team that eventually could catch Clemson here in the next couple of years? Because the Tigers aren't going to go anywhere. They are going to be a mainstay in the college football playoff. They got the number one recruiting class in the country. A lot of those guys are on campus now. They've enrolled in January. So there's nothing to be sad about from a Clemson perspective. But across the ACC, is there anybody in the ACC that has been building to a point to at least make the attempt to challenge Clemson?
I think right now, as we speak, looking at 2020, I think the only team that I think can compete against Clemson and cause them problems and maybe give them a game is the same team that competed against them last year and gave them a game, and that was North Carolina. I think the Tar Heels, with what they're bringing back offensively, and even on defense, they bring back some good starters. Now, keep in mind, they don't have the depth at North Carolina that Clemson has, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, they don't. And so, you know, they could have some issues there, but they're so good on offense that they can give Clemson fits. And you just think about the way Mack Brown and that coaching staff gave their team a chance to win that game on a neutral field in the ACC championship game next year. I think that's going to be my matchup for the ACC championship game. I think it's going to be a lot of people's that the Tar Heels could cause some problems. So they're the team I look at with Mack Brown and that coaching staff that I think is on the rise. I think if they can get to the ACC championship game next year, they will solidify themselves as a contender, I think, and a team that can maybe in the future, in the next few years, can be a team that, you know, can maybe challenge Clemson for an ACC championship. But right now, if I'm looking at 2020, 2021, even 2022, I think Clemson right now is set to again, keep winning this ACC and keep dominating. You know, you wonder how long they can go. They've won, 20, I think I counted today. They won 19 regular season games in a row, 22 ACC games overall, counting the championship games in a row. They're on course this year. They could break the all-time record in the ACC for consecutive ACC wins. They could, you know, they can get within reach of tying the regular season record. So there's some things this team can do historically if they keep dominating the ACC the way they do. But you wonder how long can they keep going, because they've owned it now the last 5 years. And right now, at least in the next three or four, you don't see anybody really challenging this Clemson team at this point in time.
As we're wrapping up with Will Vandevort of the Clemson Insider, of course, a lot of Clemson fans, Will, are anxious about the 2020 year because T. Higgins has announced he's headed to the NFL. Jeff Scott is now the head coach at South Florida. So there's some internal changes that the Tigers are going to face this offseason. Chase Bryce has declared, I believe, for the transfer portal, if I read that correctly. What would you say from a positional standpoint, who is in the weeds or in the wings that could replace T. Higgins? And what are you expecting moving forward from a staff standpoint?
Well, I think the biggest news to come out of last week is that Travis Etienne's returning for his senior year.
Yep.
I think that's huge for Clemson's offense, because now you bring back that experienced running back who just got better as the season went along in his pass protection. You know, you're a coach, you understand what that's like when you're watching a game and you see, you know, Travis Etienne going over there and chipping Chase Young in the Fiesta Bowl the way you're supposed to as a running back, where a couple years ago he's probably going for his legs, you know what I'm saying, and Young's jumping over him and then killing the quarterback. So that shows some growth, I think, in Travis, and then his ability to catch the ball in the backfield. Here's what people don't understand. He had 37 catches this year for 417 yards and four touchdowns out of the backfield. That's That's outstanding. Those 37 catches are more than C.J. Spiller had his senior year at Clemson. C.J. had 36 catches that year. And so, you know, he's showing the ability to slip out of the backfield and be more productive as a receiver. That's huge for Clemson's offense next year going forward. The guy I think that could replace T. Higgins is no doubt in my mind is going to be Joseph Ngata. I think he kind of went through the ups and downs that a freshman typically goes through, especially in this offense, as complicated as it is, and the things they ask the wide receivers to do. But I think he has the talent and the upside to continue to get better. He's a physical guy. He's already got the toughness to him, and I just think he's just going to get better as he goes. Frank Gladson's another guy I think you look at as a guy who I think can be an outstanding wide receiver for Clemson. And then, of course, Justin Ross. Guys, he kind of had a down year this year, but really came on strong at the end of the season. And I think he's poised to – he's going to have a breakout year next year. There's no doubt in my mind. He's going to be one of the top receivers in the country. It's what we always call it's a money year, right? He's a junior. He'll have a chance to go pro next year. It's going to be a big year for him to come out and show the NFL scouts how good he is and what he can do.
As always, Will, this is Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider. We appreciate you and your time, Will, and your insights into the Clemson program. Tell our listeners where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, they can find me at Twitter, at SteelerWill. You could also find my stuff, my work at Clemson Insider on Twitter. Our Facebook page is The Clemson Insider. Or you can just come to our website, which is free all the time, 24/7. Everything's free. Our content on the front page, our message boards, all of it's free. You can go to theclemsoninsider.com and find us there. And we got all, not just stuff for me, but we also got recruiting stuff. Gavin Oliver, our recruiting guy, does a great job covering Clemson recruiting. And so he'll always keep you up to date on what's going on the football side of things from a recruiting standpoint.
Will, as always, I appreciate your time, and look forward to the articles coming out as we head on to spring practice here in April.
Yeah, February 26th, man. That's when we get started.
Appreciate it, Will. Thank you. That's Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider. This is the show at ESPN Upstate.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into the final segment of the first hour here at the show. I am Josh Phillips, along with Diesel over there on the board. Appreciate Steeler Will, or Will Vandervoort. He's at Steeler Will on Twitter, if you want to give him a call. Our next guest that we're expecting here shortly is former Major League pitcher and Atlanta Brave Jose Alvarez is going to join the show today to talk the Hall of Fame selections. That took place yesterday. Of course, Derek Jeter, the captain, first ballot Hall of Famer, only missed a unanimous Hall of Fame induction by one vote. I don't know who that nut guy was.
There's always one jerk who just wants to be the guy that blocks that.
I guess he wanted Mariano. I guess he's a Mariano Rivera fan, because Mariano Rivera is the only unanimous Hall of Fame inductee into Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. Of course, Derek Jeter will be enshrined in Cooperstown, along with Larry Walker, the great left-handed batter of most notably the Colorado Rockies, made it in. Of course, the three notable players that did not make it in, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, and Barry Bonds. And I'm going to be interested to see, with the way this situation in Major League Baseball shakes out, and that's one of the reasons why I'm excited to have Jose Alvarez join us, is to get his unique perspective on this situation with the Houston Astros, because it's not just the Astros that this is affecting. You're talking about three major league managers that were fired. Okay, you had Hinch with the Astros, you had Cora with the Red Sox, and you had Beltran of the Mets, all shown the gate. And that leads me to say that this isn't just an isolated incident. And like we mentioned in the previous segment, you know, this LA city petition, or whoever these LA people are that are petitioning for the Astros or Major League Baseball to acknowledge and take back the Astros World Championship, to me, is ridiculous. And a gentleman that I'm excited to have join the show, former Major League Baseball pitcher Jose Alvarez. Jose, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks. Good to be on.
Appreciate you taking time out to join us today. Wanted to get your thoughts on the Hall of Fame selections with, obviously, Derek Jeter going in, Larry Walker, and the three guys that I'd mentioned before, Bond, Schilling, and Clemens, even though their vote total went up. Is there any hope, Jose, that those guys get in eventually?
Do I hope it, or is there any hope for them?
either one, whatever you're comfortable
well,
with.
Well, you know, here it's interesting. I just recently had a conversation with, former teammate and good friend John Smoltz, and one of the things that, you know, I mean, certainly 100% I agree Derek Jeter should have got in. Larry Walker had some great numbers, but you know, when you look at a guy who averaged, I don't know, you know, well under 150 games a year, it kind of puts it in perspective. And if you look at, there's several guys, and I'm not being biased for Braves, I'm just being real. You look at a guy like Dale Murphy, you know, who really should be in the Hall of Fame based on his career and at the time of his career. And then, you know, to reward guys that have cheated, I don't see me ever casting a vote for, you know, some of those guys, but I don't have a vote. So it doesn't really matter there. But I look at the state of the game right now, and I look at some of the guys. You know, if you take Andrew Jones, if you look at the first 10 years of Andrew Jones' career, Andrew Jones, you know, would have Hall of Fame numbers. He basically played his way out of the Hall of Fame the last 5 years. Because he played, you know, with a lot of injuries. And there's a lot of guys like that. So if you compare those numbers, look at his numbers the first 10 years. It's astounding. So, you know, there's some guys in the way that the Hall of Fame is looked at is a little bit different now.
As we're talking with former Major League pitcher Jose Alvarez, Jose, as you look at this situation with the Houston Astros, it seems as if the organization is a little bit put off that people are upset about this situation that went on. Then, of course, it come out about Alex Cora, and then it came out with Beltran. So it was more than just an isolated situation. Your take and your insights on what Major League Baseball is facing since this information has come out with the signal stealing from the Houston Astros?
Well, I'll compare it to something else. If you look at the steroid era, you know, a lot of people were doing, a lot of people knew about it. A lot of people in baseball knew about it, and they kind of turned a blind eye to it because all what was important was the results. And so as a result of, you know, getting the production that they wanted out of people, and you know, there's a lot of guys who would have still had Hall of Fame careers that didn't need to be on the steroids. And so as a result of that, you know, a lot of guys are missing out on being elected that, you know, would have been first ballot Hall of Famers. But when this sport, unfortunately, it's almost like, you know, someone was saying, and it was quoted the other day, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And you know, I know there's a lot of guys that did certain things to the balls and, you know, corked bats and all of that. It's kind of like, hey, everybody's looking to get an advantage. The problem is when the reward is worth the risk, people are going to do it. And so you have to make the risk so much greater that if you get caught doing it, you're rolling the dice and you're messing yourself up by doing that. So when you look at the sign stealing, you can steal signs. We used to steal signs from the Braves, but it wasn't done with electronic devices, and that's what the problem is. And you know, now the Astros, and this thing is just starting. You know, some friends that are close to this situation are telling me it's going deep. And so you've got to make the penalty so great that it's going to keep people from ever doing it. And that's just something that baseball, and with analytics now and a lot of these things, it's like, hey, the game has got to, it's got to change a little bit, or you're going to lose it.
As we're talking with former Major League Baseball player and pitcher Jose Alvarez, Jose, do you think that this incident will keep Carlos Beltran out of the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, again, it's one of those things that it puts a doubt and a question mark in a lot of the voters' minds, because what they're saying is, okay, what would your career really been like had you not used steroids? What would your career would have been like if you, you know, you didn't have electronic buzzers on you and letting you know, what was coming, not just a trash can banging, but, you know, I don't know. If I could look in the bottle and make a guess, I think it's going to have a negative impact. It's already cost him, you know, a managerial job. So, you know, these are million-dollar decisions these guys made years ago by doing this. It's costing them now. And it's too bad, because they're good guys. It's just, you know, that appeal for better and more. It's, you know, when you start living for, you know, in a different way and not really understanding the purpose of why you're here, and it's all about, you know, climbing to the top, and it doesn't matter how you get there. With that kind of mentality, the fall's great.
As we're wrapping up with Jose Alvarez, former Major League pitcher, Jose, real quick, before we let you go, we're at the top of the hour. I know you're heavily into FCA here in Greenville and helping people just across all boards of life. Go ahead and use the last 30 seconds, 45 seconds to talk about the organization that you're involved in here.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. You know, our generations that are following after us need to be impacted. And I just kind of really flew over it with just the why. I think when people understand the, you know, the why you're created, it changes the how you do life. We were created for eternity. We're created for purpose and to have relationships. And so FCA has been around for over 60 years in the Greenville area and the upstate of South Carolina. We've got great organizations. We're impacting schools. I've been working with club pros, and I just see a lot of great things happening to our community. And I believe that FCA is a way, if anybody's looking for a way to get involved and help, we're looking for character coaches, people that would volunteer to help impact others' lives. So thanks for giving me this opportunity.
Absolutely. Jose Alvarez, appreciate you and your time. You're always welcome on the show. Tell our listeners where they can find that information on you on social media along with FCA.
Yeah, you can go to FCA Golf Greenville, or you can go to greenvillefca.org. Either one of those, you'll find information. Just, you know, Google. My son tells me, GTS, Google that stuff, Dad. So Google it, and you'll get some information. But anything I can ever do or add to your show, don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks again.
Thank you, Jose Alvarez, for your time and joining the show today. This is The Show at ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.